Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you. Thinking about, trying to figure out what's going on with Daniel's car afterwards has gotten me a little distracted, but not anymore. We're all fine. I'm thinking about, what am I going to be doing after church now, you know, but it's all good, so we're fine. Scripture that I'm starting out with today is 2 Chronicles 29:11. It says, "My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to minister to him, and to be his ministers and burn incense." So, my disclaimer to you today is that this is not my word. Okay, I know you say, but it's the word of the Lord. I hope so, yes, but it's not even my word of the Lord, okay? I shamelessly stole this from the bishop. That's right. And if you read Aslan Rohrs, you may recognize this as we go through it, but it was right on for All Saints, and so that was the reason, and you know, it just stuck with me. And so it's very, very simple word, but of course I'm going to complicate it after I tell you. So we'll get through this somehow. The greatest ministry of all of the saints is this: to minister to the Lord. From that scripture, what you just heard. Your greatest ministry is to minister to God. Okay? That's it. That's the simple part of it, okay? Now, as we think about that, and I started meditating on it, I started asking myself, you know, what would it be like to be a monk? You know, I mean, we have, you know, from time to time, people here have gone to Mepkin Abbey. You know, we've had wonderful time down there. The Trappist monks, you know, there's a community there that lives there. They have devoted themselves to life there. And some never leave that place, you know. What would it be like to be a monk, you know? I mean, when we've gone down there, you think, oh, man, what a wonderful life this must be. Incredible peace and tranquility in this beautiful place. And on the outside, it sounds really nice. Nothing to worry about but praying to God. And the worst thing you got to do is make it to all the daily offices, right? Sounds great. It seems like this carefree existence when you first go there. But I know better. Having had some life experience, I understand that the grass always looks greener on the other side of the fence, doesn't it? And that's kind of the same thing that happens down there. You know, all our lives have elements of worry and consternation. You know, times when we're anxious about things and, you know, like, will I be late for work? Or, you know, is the car going to make it to church? Or, you know, will I make enough money to eat this month or pay the bills? You know, all that stuff that we worry about. And, you know, I imagine even monks have worries, too. Similar worries, probably. And that's the thing that I've sometimes meditated on when I've been down there, is that they have times of consternation. You know, they have to work, too. Okay? They have to work to earn their living. They have to be able to keep that place up. And at Mepkin Abbey, they grow mushrooms, you know. And they have in the past raised chickens, you know. If you go up to Gethsemane up in Kentucky, Gethsemane, they make candy and fudge, you know, and it's really good. I don't think I could work there. And fruitcakes. Yeah, nobody likes those. Actually, I like fruitcake. I do, I like fruitcake. I like the really gooey one, you know. Everybody gets.
Just passing
Now, if it gets to me, I'll eat it. Okay. You know, but they got to do this work, and sometimes that's hard work. And you know, they still got to ask for donations to keep things going. And you know, they wonder things like, will we have enough for the month? You know, and will I be able to feed all these monks? And you know, are we going to make it? Will we get any new novices in? You know, or is this brotherhood going to die off? You know. You know, Brother Ambrose is bothering me. He just drives me crazy. I don't think I can live with him. You know, that kind of stuff. These things still happen, you know. I'm not a farmer. This work is too hard. Who wants to grow mushrooms, you know? So it's not always quite as good as we might think, you know. The grass is greener on the other side. Yes, they have their difficulties, you know, and but still, it looks like a good life, and especially a place like Mepkin Abbey. The peace is incredible there, you know. I encourage you all to go if you have the opportunity. You know, but then sometimes I look at the monks and I say, well, you know, they've devoted their lives to Christ, right? They made these vows, and they may never leave the Abbey, you know. They're going to stay there. They don't go out and share the gospel with people, and they don't minister out in the world. Don't get me wrong. Some of them do. They just raise mushrooms, you know. They don't preach in the streets. You don't hear any of them having radio programs or TV programs, you know, that spread the word of God, right? And maybe there is, you know, on, what is it, ETWN or something like that, but I don't want to watch that. So, and some of them write music, of course. They do use music, of course, in their services. And a few of those have shared them worldwide. You ever heard of John Michael Talbot? Okay, he's a monk. And so it's true, these things do minister to the whole group. But maybe others, you know, some of those, you know, tunes that they use there never go further than their monastery. And you think, well, you know, what are they doing to minister in the name of the Lord? You know, are they wasting their lives? Are they retreating from the world to go to this place? And see, the problem is that I asked the wrong question about that, because it's not how are they ministering in the name of the Lord, it's how are they ministering to the Lord. You see, the secular world tells us that we have to succeed in life. You know, we've got to go out there and do it, you know, and, you know, we can't have it until we've got all this stuff built up and big barns full of things, right? And we've got to do big things and make a difference in the world. Now, the bishop commented on the word that I'm elaborating on, you understand, that he sees this in a lot of millennials, folks coming up now, that they really are excited about doing good things for God, big things for God, you know. They want to make a difference in the world. But that this oftentimes results in disappointment, because life is hard, right? And sometimes things don't always go exactly the way you think, like you're going to be able to go out and cure cancer or whatever. So it's okay to think big thoughts and to keep dreaming those big dreams, but it's not necessarily our primary thing to do, okay? Not for a Christian, all right? The primary thing we are to do is to minister to God. You think, huh, that sounds interesting. A minister ministers to other people. But we are to minister to God. We are to please God. That is our reason for being here. Okay? You know, this is borne out in the Ecclesiasticus passage, you know, you read there, or you heard, otherwise known as Sirach. But I've preached on that word before because it's kind of strange. It talks about all these people that, yeah, their legacies are great, and then others never heard of, you know, but they're there too. And it's true, okay? Some, as if they never existed, it says there. Well, maybe not to the world, but it is to God. They are known to God. He remembers all. He knows all people. Anyone who ministers to his heart is never forgotten and never lost. It's also borne out in Ephesians today, too. In verse 17, he said, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that, and listen to this, you may know him better. And I love the NIV in this case. Oh, above the others. Can you imagine? The others say the knowledge of him. And knowledge of him is great, but knowing him is incredible. And that's what I'm talking about. And that's what God wants, is to be known, to be known by us. So, you know, we think about then, okay, if it's so important to please him, then how do we do that? Well, by knowing him. Just told you. See, it's a trick question. It's what he wants and desires above all things, is to be known by us. You can call it prayer. You know, you can call it that. We do that a lot. You could call it spending time with God if you want to. You know all this stuff. You know, we're talking about the relationship thing here, okay? But you understand, his heart leaps with joy when you just consider him in your day and you're going about things, much less if you actually talk to him and actually get into a conversation with God. We can call it worship as well, the thing that we're doing here today, you know? Jesus said, a time is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. And who are the true worshipers? Those that want to know him. That's it. That's it. We were created to worship God. So any worship, whether it's alone in your car, or your closet, or wherever you want to go, or in church together, is so pleasing to God. And pleasing to God is not, it's not a strong enough word, you understand? It just sounds like, oh yeah, look at them down there. That's great. It's not like that, okay? And this is what the bishop has made clear. You know, you go back to Song of Songs in chapter 4, verse 9. This is the way God feels when we worship Him. You have made my heart beat faster, my sister, my bride. You have made my heart beat faster and with a single glance of your eyes, with a single strand of your necklace. How beautiful is your love, my sister, my bride. That's the way God feels when we turn to Him, when we consider Him, when we know Him. That's what it's about. You know, and when you do it spontaneously or just because you love Him, you know, His incredibly big heart, you know, this is the heart that endures all the pain of all the suffering of all humanity over all time and all wars and all disasters and everything. That huge heart that I'm talking about beats faster because you turn to Him and say, Lord, I love you. Each of you, each and every one, not just that guy over there, you. The Psalms tell us to worship the Lord. Come, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We heard it in Psalm 149 today. Praise the Lord in the ministry. You know, we talked about ministry. Our work is to minister to God. Well, we think, well, ministry is to, you know, go out and help people or feed them at the soup kitchen or something like that. It's to be a servant to others, isn't it? Well, yeah. In Chronicles, that verse that I had for you there says to minister to Him. Okay? Minister not on His behalf to others, but minister to Him. Just to be absolutely clear. We are to minister. Well, how do we do that to other people? How do we minister to other people? Well, just like I said, we go to the soup kitchen, we feed them, we do things like that. We show them love in any way that we can, and we do that by serving. Well, you can do the same thing with God. That's what we're talking about. We can be there for Him. We can show Him we love Him, and that we can serve Him as well, too. And that's kind of different, you see, than doing things for Him. We're doing things in His name, okay? See, you don't go out and save souls, okay? He does that. It's all His ministry, okay? You see, in some places, some parts of the church, this may not be too popular of a word, right? Because the church is there to try and get you to do things, right? You're supposed to get there, you know? Come on, we got to go. Let's go out there. You guys go, you know? No. And so this doesn't sound very popular because all I'm telling you is to worship God. Okay? Spend time with Him. I'm not telling you to do all that other stuff. Well then, who's going to take care of the church? Well, you and I know that when we are in Him and through our ministering to God, He may stir your heart to go out and serve Him to others. And that other ministries come out of that. It all flows out of the ministry to Christ, to God, okay? And that's why Bishop Chuck is confident with this word, okay? You know, because what God really wants are worshipers who are true and who will let God minister through them. That's where those other ministries come from. But here's the thing, and this is, I'm quoting from the bishop, okay? He says, you know, you could be alone in your room and be fulfilling the most important ministry that you will ever steward. In that simple place where nobody is around to watch, you can give Him your affection, your praise, your surrender. The most important thing you will ever do in your life. Right there. Isn't that so freeing? I mean, think about that. Think how freeing that is. You all have responsibilities and things, and people are looking up to you to do stuff, and you know you have to measure up to this level, you know. But this is the measure that I'm talking about. Ministering to God. Because all the other stuff will take care of itself if you do that. It begins there. That's what's so freeing about that. You don't have to go out and invent a new, method of powering cars or anything like that. You don't have to go out and work on the vegetable oil in your car, that kind of stuff. You just have to spend time with God. Wow. And if that's all you ever do, you have rocked the heavens. You realize that? You have created a sweet aroma in the nostrils of the Lord just by being with Him. This is the first ministry of all the saints. That's why I use it for all saints. At all places and in all times and in all phases of your life. The ministry before you're born, while you're here, and after you die. Blessing His heart, bringing pleasure to Him, is the most important and most relevant ministry you will ever participate in. You can do that through the attitude of your heart, either on the foreign mission field in Africa or in your office cubicle or underneath a car working on it. So you see, the monks that I was talking about are doing just that. They are blessing God throughout the day. In fact, they're far and away above us because they're praying all the time, not just in the daily offices, but as they go about all of their work. If they're, harvesting mushrooms, they're praying to God. They've got Him right there in the forefront, and they are knowing God. Whether they, do big things like John Michael Talbot or St. Francis or St. Benedict or whoever, they're blessing God with their very lives. Even if all they do is raise mushrooms all their life, they've fulfilled their ministry to God wonderfully. So these are not wasted lives. On the contrary, they're giants among us in the presence of God. And the same goes for you. As a saint of God, doesn't matter whether you invent the longer-lasting light bulb, or discover a new species of mammal. Wow, look at that. Or just wash dishes your whole life. Fix cars, work in a store. If you minister to God, you are doing a powerful ministry that rocks the heavens. You bless God with your presence. We think about, God coming and blessing us with His presence, Well, you know what? We bless God with our presence. Let's turn that around and reverse that. You realize that when you come into His presence, He is blessed by your presence there? Wow. That was just humbling to me. See, He wants to hear from you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to be in your presence. It's kind of like, if you've ever had a cat. Cats sometimes bring you these little gifts, right? It's like, here's a dead mouse. It's for you. Yay! I put it on the front doorstep for you. Our dogs have done that, too, if they don't eat them. But they bring you these little things, and you're like, oh, gee, thanks. Now I got to throw that away, But, you're probably somewhere down deep inside of you. You're touched that they thought of you, right? Well, he brought it to me. So, I think I'm okay with that. Well, this is the same analogy with God, only we're the cat, right? We bring things to Him and say, look what I did, God, And He's a little less interested in what we brought Him, but He's thrilled that we thought of Him and that we came before Him when we brought Him that dead mouse. Yeah, He is, That's the thing. He just wants to be with you. You don't have to earn your presence, by bringing Him a dead mouse. You see what I'm saying? And this thing that I'm telling you about, this ministry that you have, this first ministry that you all have, is the easiest thing in the world to do. Because He's always right there with you, isn't He? You can talk to Him any time you want. So, sometimes we say, okay, well, that's all we got to do? Yeah. But sometimes there are additions. that we got to put on this. Okay, like me, for instance, I'm a priest, right? And I, because of my love for him, have made vows to be a priest and to serve as a priest, to take on extra responsibility to, you know, offer the sacraments and to serve the servants of God, you all. I do that not because I made a vow, but because I love him and because I want to do this for him. And to tell you the truth, what I found out over the years, ministering to other people is extremely rewarding. I mean, I can say that every time I've ministered to somebody, it's any of you in the hospital emergency room or in your homes, I have been blessed. I've gone away blessed. I'm like, oh, Lord, thank you for letting me be a part of this. To be used by God is a remarkable thing. And it comes from that first thing that I was telling you about. To stand up here and celebrate Eucharist, I wish I could tell you, is just an incredible and awesome experience every time. It doesn't get old. And I'm pleased to say that another saint is going to have that honor very soon. I have the honor today of announcing to you that Mr. David Winkle has been approved for ordination as a priest.
Congratulations.
Or I should say condolences. No. Kidding. January the 25th, Bishop Jones has approved to come and will come here and ordain David Winkle in this church. Priest. And we have bratwurst. Now, I know that you've all been blessed by David's ministries over the years, you know. And it's going to ramp up to another level. We expect big things out of you, David. Opposite of what I was just saying, right? No. So, you know, I know that this is all, okay, all that I'm just telling you in this announcement is because David is a faithful minister to God. That's why. He has sought to please God and to serve him. And he's demonstrated that to us very well as also. We are blessed, you know. David, the Lord has chosen you also to stand before him, to minister to him, and to be his minister. Amen.